Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It is 9:09. We're live on 720 WGN and CLTV. Schwani, it's good to see you down here.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Andy, you too. Today is a perfect day in Chicago, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Look outside.
It's beautiful.
Look outside the Allstate Showcase Studios. The sun's out. You got a few people walking downtown.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody on the roads.
Nope.
It took me 12 minutes from my house to get
here. You had a treat to come in to work this morning.
12 minutes. This is what I love about the city, working on a day like this. You get here in 12 minutes. That's what it's all about, man. Yeah.
Just wait till later.
You look forward to this every other time during the year.
I do.
Don't dilly-dally. You know, make sure you get home right after your show because could change a little later.
Wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. I was in Michigan for a few days. Our friends have a lake house, and we were up there, and we help them open it, and we paint and, you know, do all the heavy labor. And I had to come home. I was on Fox last night at 12:20 in the morning because the NASCAR race went late.
Yeah. Coca-Cola 600.
So I didn't go on Fox until 12:20. You're off at 12:30. You get home. You wind it down. Next thing you know, it's 2:00.
And here you are.
Right.
It's hanging out with you guys. It was only 12 minutes for you to come in.
But I got to tell you, I can't wait to barbecue today. I'm ready to go.
Is that on the list for this afternoon?
Got some ribs ready. I also have some steaks I may pull out.
Nice.
What are your dinner plans today?
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, the single successful guy that I am.
Don't you have friends that call you up?
Yeah, I've got several things to choose from today, so I just want to make sure I'm making the right choices.
You got nothing. You have absolutely nothing.
I didn't say that. What's your address again?
let's see. My son has a term paper due tomorrow. He's in sixth grade. This is the final stretch. He's got 8 days left.
What's it about?
Great question. Let me think about that for a second. What is it? Oh, it's on one of his books.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the books that he's reading.
I don't know, Dave, what the name of the book is.
Okay. Sorry I opened this up.
You know, I should know that as a parent. Now you're making me feel bad.
The look on your face.
Well, here's the deal. He's coming home from Michigan with my wife. They're going to be driving today. My wife's going to get home at 2:00. She's going to be crabby, and we got to finish his term paper.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to put the conclusion and then put it online. Kids don't hand in papers anymore. You email it to the teacher.
Really?
Yeah, you do everything online.
So it's a paperless term paper.
It is, yes.
Huh.
And then I'm going to barbecue this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's my day.
That's your
day. In a nutshell.
It's a great day.
But I want to make sure that we get the paper done.
Is the paperless term paper due tomorrow morning?
It is. It's due tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your work cut out for you. Uh-huh.
I do. But my point is, if we don't get the term paper done, it's going to push back the barbecue. And it pushes back my cooking.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of stress in my life, guys. I know. Yeah. Anybody, you know, the pool's open today.
Hmm? You're here till noon, right?
Yeah, I'm here till noon.
Good. Okay.
Why?
Well, I'm just wondering. I'm trying to schedule your afternoon here for you, trying to help you out.
I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to figure out what time I should be at his house.
Pools and beaches open today.
Yes.
Today is the official start of summer.
Love it.
People were already in the lake.
They were already out on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I saw them on North Avenue Beach.
Yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Besides that quick downpour, mm-hmm. people were in the lake. The lake is freezing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go in the lake? I don't understand
it. A lot of them were out. Were not in the lake. They were on the beach. They weren't in the water.
Okay.
Lifeguards were up, though. They were out.
Yeah, they have to be. Yeah. They're getting paid for that. But water safety is a huge deal. We have someone from the Red Cross. Holly will be in here in just a second, and we'll have her in studio. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. It is 9:16. We're live on CLTV. The beaches and most pools open today. May is Water Safety Month. Who knew? Anybody? Water Safety Month? Did anybody know?
Did not.
That makes two of us.
The Red Cross is reminding you to be careful around water. Joining us in studio is Holly Baker. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Your bright red shirt for television. This is nice.
Absolutely.
Water safety. I know a lot of parents. I started my son young because I was a horrible swimmer, but I see a lot of parents nowadays starting their kids later with swim lessons. Is that becoming a trend now?
I don't know if it's much of a trend, but it's definitely something that we've seen. And a lot of Americans actually are growing up into adulthood and believing themselves to be a better swimmer than they actually are. So one thing we're kind of reminding people this summer as summer gets underway is to make sure not only your kids can swim, but also that you can too.
I could not swim.
Really?
I was a horrible swimmer. And last summer, every Wednesday, I took swim lessons. I learned to swim.
Good.
I was a horrible swimmer, and I figured it out.
Growing up, you were not good at it at all?
I took swim lessons maybe for a year, year and a half, one summer, and I was, you know, I could float, but I could not swim.
Yeah, I was a junior lifesaver.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Had the cart and everything for a while.
We were at a lake. It hit me about 2 years ago. We were at a lake, and my son, who was then nine, we jumped off the boat, and we were swimming in the lake, and then he jumped on my back. And I was struggling to stay above water. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, I need to learn to swim, or at least turn on my side and learn how to float.
Yeah. A lot of Americans, like I said, they think that they're better swimmers than they actually are. So one of the things you can definitely do this summer is before you ever make plans to get in the water or on a boat is to take a class and learn how to swim. And you can do that by going to redcross.org and you can sign up for a class near you.
You guys have a goal of teaching 50,000 more people in 50 communities across the country to swim this summer.
Yes, we are. It's part of our centennial campaign. About 2 years ago, we wanted to celebrate 100 years of aquatic safety education. So one of the things we're doing is really encouraging more people across the entire country to educate themselves, learn how to swim, and make sure your kids are also competent swimmers before they even get near the water.
It seems like a no-brainer to me. That's the first thing you do is teach your kids how to swim, mm-hmm. or just send them to swim lessons. I mean, I swear, I think my son started at three.
Yeah. It's definitely something that you can start really young in life. And being able to swim is a skill you'll carry with you your whole life.
It'll save your life.
It will.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous that people don't do this. But why? What's the reason?
Because you want to have a great summer, right? Here in Chicago, we've got great beaches, and people love to get out on the boats and in the water, and not just lakes. We're talking about swimming pools as well. It's great to be prepared ahead of time by taking a swim lesson, taking a swim class, and knowing how to swim. And then once you're in the water, you also want to never swim alone. Swim with a buddy, no matter your skill level. Right. And if you're going to be out on the boat or in the water, make sure you have your life jacket too. There are lots of things you can do ahead of time to make sure you have a safe summer on the water.
Dave, can you swim?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And you're right. I learned probably when I was about five or six.
Right.
But I would not consider myself an excellent swimmer. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay. And, you know, I know what to do and what not to do. But these classes that you mentioned would help you become a better swimmer. Even if you know the basics and know how to, you know, do basically what you should and should not do, these classes will help you improve, I'm sure.
Yeah, and about 80% of Americans think that they're better swimmers than they actually are, when in reality, only about 50% can actually perform those basic skills in the water that would save your life, which is being able to jump into water that's over your head, getting to the surface, treading or floating water in the water for about a minute, turning mm-hmm. around, and then being able to get out of the water without the aid of a ladder. So if you can't do that, it's time to kind of reassess your swim skills. And you can kind of very easily check out a class and get yourself prepared for a great, safe summer.
So what do they do? Do they call the Red Cross, go online? How can I get involved?
It's really easy. You can go to redcross.org and you can type in your zip code and find a class near you and you can get all set up for summer.
And besides swim lessons, you offer CPR classes.
CPR, first aid. A lot of kids maybe are going to be doing some babysitting this summer. We have babysitting classes. Lots of things that you can check out and you can find them locally near you.
Anybody taking a CPR class here?
No, I have not.
I've taken it twice.
Really?
It's simple.
I
mean,
not.
You just have to take the time to do stuff like this. Seriously. Mm-hmm. You could save a life.
It's really a really basic thing that if you were in a situation where CPR was what was called for and you didn't know how to do it, I mean, that's something you can think about. Like, you could easily take a class and get those skills that you need in one afternoon.
Do you know
that
CPR?
Quickly? In an afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a few short hours, wow. And you can get certified for CPR. And it's something that you can, again, carry with you all the time. And your certification will last a while. And you can get recertified a few years down the road.
How often do you have to take the class? Because it's been a few years for me.
You should definitely retake it then if it's been a few years.
Can I just watch a YouTube video? Will that count?
You know, YouTube is great for a lot of things, but right. You want to take a class with an expert and get certified and get that card, and then you can feel reassured in your own abilities that you know how to do it.
Dave, if I can learn, I think it was maybe a two-hour class, 2.5 hours. If I can learn, anybody can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Yeah.
Really. It's really a great skill to have.
And they have the dummies there that you perform on and do mouth-to-mouth. And you know,
we're trying to make it as realistic as possible.
You're right. But these are simple things that we all could do. Take 2 hours out of your day and you could mm-hmm. save a life mm-hmm. down the road.
Yeah, there are lots of things you can do. You know, a lot of people get out on the boat this summer. So some things you can do before you go out there is make sure you have life jackets on board. A lot of people this summer, those fun inflatable, you know, swans and unicorns, those are fun, but they do not replace a real life jacket. You can also have a kit on board, like an emergency kit that has sunscreen and it has maybe some non-perishable snacks and water and ways to communicate, most likely a cell phone. And one of the things you can do ahead of time is download our Red Cross app to your phone in case of emergencies, and that will keep you really safe and prepared on the water. And definitely something you should check out.
These are such simple things.
Very
that
simple.
Seem like a no-brainer to me. Why would you not have life preservers in your boat?
Some people think that they're not necessary, or they just don't take the time to make sure that they have them before heading out. So definitely one thing you want to remember is to be prepared before you go out on the water. In our app, we have got lots of tips for that.
Right. If you're a kid under 16, you can't get on the boat without a life preserver on. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's our rule right there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Andy, you're an avid swimmer.
Yeah, I like swimming. It's good for you, too.
You were a lifeguard for how many years?
Only a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is more important to me back then, you know.
Are you a strong swimmer?
I used to be.
The hardest thing for me when learning to swim was the breathing and the moving at the same time. It's all about rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's tough.
And you talk about, you think people thinking a better swimmer than they actually
yes.
are. A big part of that is they don't realize perhaps how tired you get and how quickly you can get tired in the
That's
water.
A great point.
Yeah, and in swimming pools is one type of swimming, and then in lake water, conditions can change very quickly. There can be currents, and the waves can get choppy. It can be a lot different. Different types of water, it's different types of swimming, so it's definitely something to...
Especially Lake Michigan, man. Mm-hmm. It can turn on you in a second.
Not to mention rip currents out there.
And
very serious.
Oh, it's terrible. And we always associate the Red Cross with giving blood. Are you guys doing any blood drives this summer?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing we really encourage people is to make sure they do sign up to donate this summer. In the summertime, schools are closed, universities are closed, and we kind of lose out on some of our donors that donate regularly. So we really encourage people to donate blood this summer as we kind of go into the summer slump, because the need for blood is constant. It's always there. But mm-hmm. in the summertime, people make other plans and they aren't thinking about donating blood. So we really encourage people to donate blood this summer.
And I do want to mention, whenever there's a disaster, a tornado of some type, you guys are always first on the ground.
We're usually some of the first ones there, and we're also the last ones to leave a lot of the time. We are there through the whole recovery process, much longer after the disaster or whatever happened has left the headlines. The Red Cross is still there providing recovery and support to the victims.
And people, the app is free that they can download?
All of our apps
are
free.
And what's on it again?
There's lots of apps that can help you out. We've got our water app, our blood app, our emergency app. We are app central here. Very easy. There's an app for that. So you can definitely download those. And for blood drives, even, you can just type in your zip code, find the closest blood drive to you, and you can do it over a lunch hour. It only takes about 1 hour to donate blood. It's very easy and simple to do, and it's really a great way to help out the Red Cross.
And is it hard to put together a blood drive? Let's say a business, someone's listening right now. Hey, I should do it at my office.
No, it's not hard at all. You can definitely go to redcross.org.
Okay.
And you can definitely find out all the information that you'll need to host a blood drive.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Holly Baker, thanks for coming in. It's good to see you.
Anytime.
This is your first radio appearance with the Red Cross, isn't it?
It is with the Red Cross, but I've been around it for a long time, so it's great to be on this side of the mic.
Nice. Good to see you.
Thank you.
It's 926, 720 WGN and live on CLTV. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, live on CLTV and 720 WGN. 937, North Korea launched another missile test. On the phone with us from ABC News, it's Tom Rivers. Tom, North Korea's ninth missile launch. We know now that the missiles can reach Japan. Can they reach the United States?
No, they can't. So you can sleep real well tonight knowing that. And it's not going to happen next week. But they did say a couple of weeks ago they're going to ramp up and probably fire one missile a week, and that's what we've been seeing. This one is an old derivative Scud missile, and you know they kind of got those figured out already. Those are relatively short distances.
Right.
And I think it's probably in response to the G7 in Italy, where the world leaders in the final communique they handed out said, message to North Korea, an item on there said, please abandon your nuclear ambitions. So I guess that was a message in response to that from Kim Jong-un.
Does Kim Jong-un, is he testing these missiles for distance, Tom, or does he just want attention? Does he want to be recognized?
I think a little of both. Certainly, the hard work for him is to work on these medium range and longer range missiles. So he becomes a regional threat and potentially somewhere down the road, if his scientists work on it long enough and hard enough, yes, he can get something that can go across the Pacific, but he certainly isn't there yet.
And where does China come in all of this? Because President Trump sent out a tweet and he said China needs to step up a little bit.
Yep. China is the biggest piece on the chessboard. If anyone can convince North Korea, it is China. Everybody else has been knocking on the door for years. The six-party talks went absolutely nowhere. Do we start that again? Sure, if possible. We need a table. We need participants. And we're not there yet. So the big influence really has to be Beijing. What can it do to convince North Korea to change its ways? And we're not there yet. We're waiting.
What is their motivation to move it along? China, that is.
China. Well, you can say, hey, China, you sell everything that stocks up every household in America, every household in Europe, everywhere. If you like that, do a favor for the rest of the 200 countries in the world and do what you can to influence North Korea. Mm-hmm. Get that off your back and you can carry on making tons of money. I don't know. I'm not sure if that message has gotten through yet.
President Trump hinted that he would consider speaking with North Korea. Is that still on the table or has that gone to the wayside?
Well, I guess it's still there. I haven't heard anything since he said that. And you're right. In fact, it was an opinion piece a couple of weeks ago in a paper in Beijing saying, Beijing would sign off on six-party talks. They'd sign off on bilateral talks. But in essence, we need a forum. And if you try this and it doesn't work, you're not really out a whole lot. If you say, well, let's put more sanctions on, they're the most isolated country in the world already.
Right.
So that route really doesn't have a whole lot of mileage left in it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Tom Rivers from ABC News. Now, the other big story is British Airways, busy travel weekend. They had a major IT system failure. My first thought was hackers. What is it? What happened?
Yeah, everybody kind of thought that, too. In fact, I flew BA from Manchester down to Heathrow on Friday evening, and it was fine. Everything, was great. I'm just so happy that I didn't travel on Saturday. Otherwise, I'd be talking to you from Manchester today. What a mess. Apparently, it was a power surge. So maybe BA should invest in some surge protectors.
Wait a second.
But
that was their excuse?
Down in a data center down by Heathrow. And it not only affected the whole system, the global system shut down.
Wait a second. Tom, do you believe that? Do you believe it?
That's what the CEO said about an hour ago here. And that's another thing. Their communications have been pretty lousy. People stranded at Heathrow Terminal 5 for not just hours, but literally a day and a half now in some cases.
Right.
And you need to come out and say, hi, here's sandwiches, here's water. You guys ain't going anywhere for at least 6 hours. They didn't do that. And you have to do that kind of thing. Otherwise, people are just staring into space saying, in my future life, I guess I'll be getting out of this terminal, maybe.
A power surge. I don't know if I believe that. We're talking British Airways here. Really? A power surge?
That's what he's that's what he's saying, and he's sticking with it. That's right.
Are the flights back to normal?
Long haul, you're okay. If you're flying from the States today, they're going to deal with you. Most of the flights in and out of Gatwick, the smaller airport south of Heathrow, is fairly up and running. They're dealing, of course, with the backlog, and that means baggage, too. So you could be, in theory, in your hotel, and you might get your bags 2-3 days late, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Short-haul flights are still affected. Cancellations and delays. So, you might fly into here and say, that's good, I'm going to transfer and I'm going to catch a short hop to Frankfurt. Well, you guess what? Your life could become pretty complicated if that's your story in the next day or two.
That is so painful. Tom Rivers from ABC News, man.
Yeah.
Tom,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Happy Memorial Day.
Hey, you too. Have a good one.
All right. See you, buddy. A power surge? Really?
You know, there are some TV and appliance stores that are having Memorial Day sales. Maybe we should, you know, let them know about those.
I don't know if I believe the power surge, but yeah, that was a huge mess over the weekend. People get so angry when they're stranded at airports, and if the airline doesn't come out and say something, mm-hmm. you get angrier.
Yeah.
You can't fuel the fire. You got to put it out, man. You got to say, sorry about this. How about some coffee for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Spend some money. That's a great PR move. If you were stranded in an airport,
yeah,
and British Airways came out and said, "Hey, we're going to buy you a coffee. I know you got to sit here. Let me get you a coffee." Who are you going to tell your friend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They would calm your nerves a little bit.
God, everybody's driving this weekend. They're traveling in British Airways. That's rough stuff. All right, coming up, the NHL finals tonight. Is that on NBC or NBC Sportsnet? Do we know?
I think it's on NBC. I think they bumped the final to the big network.
When you think of one of the big guys in broadcasting, Doc Emrick comes to mind.
Just an amazing.
I love him.
He's a great storyteller, and you know that's a hard sport to really tell stories, but he manages to do it.
Right, weave him in and out. Yeah, hanging out with Eddie O.
He drops in all these names from all. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, "Oh my God, how's he doing this?"
I love hearing an announcer get excited at a sporting event because no one does that anymore.
And you know, he's a huge baseball fan. He is a huge Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He actually did a couple of games with the Pirates.
Oh, you're right. He
on
did.
On TV in spring training.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think maybe even during the regular year. So I want to ask him about Gerrit Cole if the Cubs are going to get him. Forget about this hockey stuff.
The Cubs need help. We'll talk to Doc Emery coming up. It's 720 WGN and live on CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What a chance there to the back. Corner. It's finessed by Keith around for a beat in front. Score! Tames to Bickel with 1:16 to go in the third. Oduya shot deflected. Scramble. They score! Ballin 3-2 with less than a minute to go.
720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We're live on CLTV tonight on NBC. Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. Penguins taking on the Predators. He'll be doing the game tonight. It is Doc Emrick. Doc, thanks for taking the time out. We appreciate it. How are you?
Good, Pete. How are you? How's Wrigley?
Wrigley is... Doc is an animal lover. Everyone should know.
Is he wagging his tail this morning?
He is wagging his tail. Wrigley had some surgery. Had a tumor taken out from his head. He's only 2 years old. And Doc, we've been exchanging text messages. He wanted to see some pictures. How many dogs do you have, Doc?
We have two. We're responsible for four others that are, you know, rescues or things like that. But in terms of the ones that live with us, why, we have two, yeah. They're amazing, aren't they?
And how many horses? I mean, you have so many pets, right?
Yeah, we do. We're soft touches, though. They're 4.5. One is a miniature horse. If you stood up, Pete, and you put your arm out straight, you'd reach the back of this horse. It's a mini horse, and then the others are full size, like 1,200-pound horses. My wife enjoys them, and so we have them. I just support her. I don't get on the horse. The horse I ride is the one outside Walmart that you put the quarters in.
Yes.
Now, the hard part is getting in line behind the 5-year-olds to get your ride. But anyway, I'm glad Wrigley's feeling better. That's a tough thing to go through when you're only two.
It really is. And, you know, you have to explain to – I have an 11-year-old. I had to explain to my son Charlie this is what's going on, but hopefully he's going to be okay. And he came out fine. He's just
sure hope so.
Let's talk about the game tonight. Any pregame rituals, first of all, for the Stanley Cup Finals? You've done so many.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. You get in free and you realize how blessed you are to see athletes of this caliber compete. It's kind of a sore spot with Hawks fans because they got to see in a rather hard way. They weren't able to score in either of the two games at home against these guys from Nashville. And Pittsburgh hasn't played them in a long time. They only played twice in the regular season, and the home team won both games. And so they'll get the first-hand experience like the Hawks did with what can become a very suffocating defensive style. So that'll be the eye-opener for them. But, you know, they've scouted it out. They've seen the video. They've had time to recover after their double overtime game 7 win. But it'll be fun seeing how the feel-out stage of the first 10 minutes goes and how the big offense, because this is the most prolific offense in the playoffs this year, against the very best defense, and how all of that unfolds.
I feel like Sidney Crosby has been so beat up in this playoffs. I worry about his brain as a human being.
He seems to be just fine, and his performance in Game 7 was wonderful. There seems to be no ill effect from any of this at all. If you know somebody has a weakness, you tend to punish them where you know they are weak. But he seems to have had no ill effect from it at all. I think the one thing that has impressed me about the Penguins is that tonight will be the 209th game in 20 months for them when you count their playoff run from last year. And they have had to go through so many guys because of the injuries they've had to keep players. And yet they're still alive in all of this thing. I think in terms of health and all of that, you have to give the check mark to Nashville, despite the fact that Ryan Johansson, one of their top two centermen, is out and won't be able to play in the playoffs and, you know, won't be back until fall. But the other side of it is their defensive core, as Hawks fans found out the hard way, is the best four that there is in the playoffs. And so it's defense against offense. Sid seems to be fine. Malkin's fine. Health-wise, the Penguins are going to have most of the guys that they'd hope to have back for this series ready. And the coach of the Predators, Peter Laviolette, said yesterday, everybody on the trip is available to us. And presumably that means the captain, Mike Fisher, who had been out with a similar concussion like Crosby had had earlier.
Right, right. Let me bring in Andy. Andy?
Hey, Doc, it's a pleasure.
Hi, Andy.
Pleasure.
How are you?
Good. Great to talk to you. The debate kind of rages on, and I know you're a big baseball fan, too, and obviously we went through what we went through here with the Cubs winning the World Series last year, but is the Stanley Cup still the most difficult of the championships to win in your mind?
I think it is, and largely because of the, you know, football might argue because of the collision nature of that sport. This is a collision sport, but you have to win 16 of them, and nobody runs the whole table. I took Pittsburgh 24 games last year in 8 weeks. And so just because of the raw punishment and the carnage factor of guys dropping by the wayside and not being able to finish, you usually have somebody on crutches or somebody in civilian clothes to come out and celebrate the cup that started with you but wasn't able to finish. So I think it probably is, just from the standpoint of the attrition factor, I think it is the hardest. It's the oldest, that's for sure, that's competed for by athletes in North America. It goes back to 1893. But all of the you feel great if you're an athlete that wins any of the championships in the major professional sports. But I would argue that this is the hardest just because of the punishment that these guys have to take. We're going to document tonight the number of hits given and received by both teams, just from game one for Nashville and Chicago and game one for Pittsburgh and Columbus all the way through. It's a very large, impressive number, and it is a collision sport. And I remember Matt Millen, I used to work with on football back when I was doing other sports, and he said that football players are always amazed at hockey players on how they can do this four times a week. And I think that's probably true. And when you add to doing it four times a week and then doing it for 8 weeks to win a championship, that does say something.
Yeah, and the most amazing day is usually the day after the cup is won, when you find out what these guys were actually playing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jarrett Stoll, who was with the Los Angeles Kings, I was listening to him about a week ago on the radio, and he was talking about the two championships they won. In 2012, he said, we were up against the New Jersey Devils, and we were pretty healthy. He said in 2014, against the New York Rangers, he said, I was in line in the training room, and there were six guys ahead of me, and there were seven needles out in all lying on the training table on a towel, and I was the guy that was going to get the seventh one. And we were all there to get the shots at various places on our bodies so that we could play. Boy. Now, would I want that? No, but that is what they do so that they can be available to play and compete for this championship. And even though they're professional athletes, at this point, it's not about the cash because they were paid well in the regular season. I think, and you wouldn't find any of the Hawks that won the three championships talking about the money they got.
Right.
Because the player's share is not very large for winning the championship. I think it's about $105,000 for 8 weeks' work. That's what they get. But nobody ever mentions it because it's not what it's about. It's about getting your name on the trophy and getting a ring that is so large that most guys don't wear it very much. But it's about competing, and it's about the name that your parents gave you when you're born is going to be on a trophy forever.
Forever. The most recognizable trophy in all of sports, Doc.
And when they shine it up and they bring it out like Hawks fans have seen before, does it ever look good?
We're still bitter in Chicago. We really are. And, Doc,
well, three times in a decade is pretty darn good.
I know it is, but now we're spoiled.
In a salary cap era, that's a remarkable achievement for Stan Bowman, John McDonough, and all those folks that wear the uniform and the crest. That's remarkable. There's never been a back-to-back champion in the salary cap era. That's what the Penguins are trying to do here.
Right. Right.
It's very difficult to do.
And, Doc, you mentioned at the beginning when we started talking about you have one of those moments. Do you have that pinch-me moment? You're doing the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, you dream of this as a kid, and you've done multiple of these multiple times. What's it like when you first go on the air?
You'd be a fool to say that you weren't nervous. Because I think that goes along with it. There's a healthy nervous energy that you have. And especially, you know, I just came off another seventh game double overtime. And you try to tell yourself again before you go into the next overtime, be very sure. Don't let the emotion get the best of you. Don't get too nervous because you want to make sure that the referees tell themselves the same thing. If there's a penalty, make sure it's a good penalty. Try to be right on the overtime call. And those of you who remember Patrick Kane's goal in 2010, all botched it because we all lost it. I don't know how much time you have, but I have told this story. The next Halloween, the Devils were in Chicago, and I sat next to Patrick after everybody cleared away, and I said, "Okay, so because none of us got it, tell me what you saw." And he said, I let the shot go at the left circle. And as I was skating toward the net, I lost track of where it was, and I saw it in the back of the net, and I looked at the referee as I was skating, and I could tell he didn't see it. And so I realized the only thing I could do was start selling it. And so I started celebrating, and I figured I better go to the other end because I saw it. It was in the back of the net. And so I started selling, and Jonathan Toews was at the bench, and he said we were hesitant to even come over the boards because we'd get too many men on the ice.
Right.
It was a nutshell. I'm paid to get those. I didn't get it. It doesn't mean anything that the other guys that were working alongside didn't get it either because we're all supposed to get those, and I didn't. It was a major embarrassment, and that's what you hope to get. But I got the S and C of score out of my mouth. But then I wasn't sure, and so I pulled back, and there it is.
I'll never forget that moment because we were all watching and standing in front of the TV. What just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Did we just win? What's going on here? And then you had that minute of people running around, and then finally, of course, we won.
They had to review it, and then they realized how embarrassing that was. And the whole thing would have been solved had it been 15 years earlier and had we had goal judges behind the net that could turn the light on. Because for the longest time, we had that. Love the station. I know you have news coming up, and I know every once in a while it's a soft top of the hour where the news people have to wait. I just appreciate being on, and I thank you so much.
Doc, you're one of the best. I sincerely appreciate it. Tonight, game one of the NHL Finals on NBC. It's the great Doc Emmerich.
You see that? Doc's always got the news guys in mind.
He does.
Appreciate that, Doc.
Okay. Great Memorial Day to you.
Thanks. You too, Doc. Take care.
Okay. Go Wrigley.
All right. He's one of the best, man. He's a good man. All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll check news next on 720 WGN. It is 10:07, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. What a beautiful Memorial Day. Can't wait to barbecue. I mowed my lawn yesterday morning. I got it all done. I can just kick back and relax later today. On the phone with us, you can follow him on Twitter at Rap30. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune. He is the political reporter for the Trib. It's Rick Pearson. Are you the chief political reporter? Can we call you?
We have several political reporters. We have a political team.
I'd like to add chief to your title, if we can do that.
That might cost money.
How you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Good to talk to you, and you guys are absolutely right. I'm sitting out on the patio, so you may have some natural sound because it's just too gorgeous out to be inside today, that's for sure.
Man, it's wonderful. So, Rick, the question is, this is it. The General Assembly is going to go on break for the summer. Are we going to see a budget this week? Is it going to finally happen?
I don't think so. Already we've got a – I know, we're coming up on 2 years. It'll be 23 months when we start June. But we have a Senate Democratic-passed plan that would boost the income tax, would expand the sales tax to a number of services, would tax video streaming and Netflix and those kinds of things, and it would raise $5.4 billion in tax increases. And it would be part of a $37.3 billion spending plan that would include cuts. That passed the Senate Democrats, no Republican votes last week, and that's now over in the House. But sharp divisions going on among House members, a real debate going on within the Democrats that control the House under Speaker Michael Madigan of whether Democrats should in the House should do like the Senate Democrats did and go on their own to try to pass something or make sure that there's some political cover by having some Republicans on board. And right now there's 46 House Democrats say that they could vote on their own to do something, but you need 60 votes to pass. And that's kind of where things stand here on Memorial Day right now.
What's Mike Madigan's motivation? Because if he goes along with it and they pass a budget, Rauner wins. And if he doesn't, he holds out and they get a Democratic governor in 2 years.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, for actually most of the past year, it's been the 2018 governor election and legislative elections that have kind of overshadowed, even though we just got done with the elections in 2016. For the past year, it's the 2018 race has basically overshadowed everything. Mm-hmm. And so you've got Governor Rauner, who continues with his demands for various items in addition to a budget in order to get his support for a tax increase. Most recently, he's been campaigning hard on the issue of wanting a property tax freeze. Even though property taxes go to local governments and local schools, they don't really do anything as far as the state budget. But it's a politically, obviously, property taxes is probably the most politically unpopular tax that people pay. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of puts him in a posturing position looking ahead to 2018. And as you said, with Mike Madigan and Democrats, I mean, there are some Democrats who say, look, Rauner's going to use his wealth to come after us either way. So why don't we look like statesmen and adults and go ahead and pass something? But that view, even if something were to pass, the governor likely would veto it. And there aren't enough Democratic votes to override a veto.
So Rick, I know the House Executive Committee, I think, met earlier today. The House as a whole is supposed to be meeting right about now. What are they doing?
Well, what they're doing is, frankly, there are committee hearings, but a lot of this is behind closed doors. It's trying to see, you know, in that Senate Democratic passed plan, for example, it would have raised the income tax rate for a personal rate from 3.75% to 4.95%, almost 5% where it used to be. But it would also be retroactive to January 1st. So that means the rate would be even higher, which would mean more money coming out of paychecks. That's something the Senate Democrats did. House Democrats are unanimous that they don't want to make that any tax increase retroactive to January 1st. So they're going through this Senate budget plan, and it's not just the taxes, but also spending levels, spending lines, and basically they're kind of picking it apart. They're trying to find areas that they agree with, but also areas that they're going to probably amend onto the Senate plan if they reach any consensus.
Gosh, it's so frustrating. We're just spinning our wheels here in this state as it goes down the toilet, and businesses keep moving out. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, in talking to business groups and others, the one thing that most business groups want, they just want certainty. They may not like the tax structure. They may not like certain new taxes that are placed, new burdens on them for collecting taxes, but they want some certainty. And that's something we just don't have. And it's decimating to the, you know, to business recruitment. It's decimating to our social service safety net. more and more of these social service providers closing day after day. I mean, we have a state backlog of bills that is likely to reach almost $16 billion. And among those that are owed money are our local schools. And they're owed about $1 billion in backlog debts that the state owes them. And we have this whole question, too, of will the legislature do something at the very minimum to ensure that schools will open on time in the fall?
Right.
It's all up in the air at this point.
What is the interest daily on what the state owes?
Well, I don't know what the daily total is, but right now the state basically is adding to that debt load in leaps and bounds. And every day without a budget, you know, we're spending just in the millions, and it just
it's
keeps
millions
growing
a day.
Growing.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, we're basically a state that's operating under court order. 90% of the funding that's been approved has been by through court order. The trouble is we don't have the revenue to pay that debt. I mean, the court ordered spending and other things, we're in the hole by $8 billion just on an annual basis, just for that.
Oh,
so it's just the hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
We're talking with Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. Runner has been running those commercials nonstop about the duct taping our problems in Springfield. Is that helping him or hurting him? Because we're all frustrated with the budget, which is what's going on with the budget right now. But I see these commercials on TV. I'm like, I think it's a negative effect now.
Well, you know, you look at when these started, and actually it's not really Bruce Rauner himself that's running them. It's an offshoot of the Republican Governors Association. It's one of those groups that doesn't have to disclose its donors, though Rauner's people tell me that the governor did not give this group any money, but certainly he's well aligned with them, obviously, in being in those ads. But what's very interesting is when these ads started out, they were kind of generic. It was, just Springfield and politicians and really didn't get partisan about it. Now in this latest kind of group of ads, you're starting to see the partisanship go at it. And, I don't know what net effect it is. When I talked to one political expert about just going on TV so early with these ads, and obviously it's, you know, precursor to the 2018 election, but just going on with these ads so early. And he said, well, it's only a waste of money if you don't have the money to waste. But if you have groups with a lot of money,
yep,
every little bit, what's the waste to it?
Before
it makes you think.
Before you were on the show, we talked about how the General Assembly is going to take a break for the summer. And what are they going to be doing this summer? And Steve mentioned, well, what are they doing right now? So they're really not working right now. What do they do during the summer break?
Now, actually, I'm not sure that you're going to see necessarily a summer break. I mean, Wednesday is the scheduled adjournment of the spring legislative session. But if they don't get anything done as far as a budget, it'll be just like it was last year, where they're going to be basically in continuous session. That doesn't mean they're going to be in Springfield every day, though people can argue that they should be. But it does mean that the legislature will come back when there's something to come back and do. But for the most part, I mean, people focus on the job of being in Springfield and casting votes and those kinds of things. But it's also, there's a lot of, I mean, the bread and butter of politics is constituent services. And, mm-hmm, you know, they got to show up in their district offices. They got to, you know, face the voters. And that's what a lot of these breaks really encompass.
So they just go and hang out in their hometown, show their
exactly
faces.
Well, and that, frankly, may be getting tougher and tougher to do because, you know, in some of these legislative districts, you know, you think of higher education and the fact of, you know, these universities in rural areas like Eastern Illinois and Charleston or Western Illinois and Macomb. We've seen it here at Northeastern Illinois University, the layoffs, the cutting of programs.
They're all in trouble.
Lack of funding. And the fact of, you know, here you have high school seniors, more and more are just leaving the state. They don't want to risk the fact of going into a public university where, is the university going to remain open? Is their program that they want to be in, is that going to remain? A lot of questions and frankly, a lot of out-migration of students and a lot of them don't come back home.
And Rick, you mentioned the governor's race a few minutes ago, and the race is moving along with Rauner adding more money, Madigan backing Pritzker, and then there's Chris Kennedy. You got these billionaires and millionaires going at it. Can a regular Joe run for governor anymore?
It's really tough. I mean, you've got, you know, you have Alderman Maya Pawar from the Northwest side. I mean, he's got a campaign fund of about $300,000. He's trying to do it, you know, with the social media and kind of the Bernie Sanders kind of social media group. State Senator Daniel Biss of Evanston, another Democratic contender, he's got about $2 million in his campaign fund. But then you've got J.B. Pritzker, who basically has said he will self-fund, and he's already put in $7.2 million into his campaign fund. You've got Chris Kennedy, who has wealth, but frankly has been spending a lot of time trying to tap wealthy donors to also contribute. So it's just very hard, especially these days when it's about, you know, getting your message out. And the question becomes, does the message get drowned out? Just like your question about these Bruce Rauner ads.
Right.
I mean, is there a point where the saturation level is already hit and people just kind of tune out? And it seems like every year earlier and earlier in the campaign cycle, we reached that saturation point where people have just already started tuning out.
We're so burned out. And Rick, last question. I know you're a big hockey fan. I was on Fox 32 last night. We went on after the rain delay on NASCAR. It was like 12:15. But the first question out of the box was, does it hurt less being a Blackhawks fan now that the Predators made it to the Stanley Cup final?
No.
I said absolutely not.
No, and it was great to hear from Doc Emmerich this morning too. I feel bad that I have to follow Doc Emmerich. Thank you very much for that lineup. But no, it of course it hurts. And I mean, frankly, I had even adopted a team out of the country. I was adopting the Ottawa Senators for the playoffs, and I figured if our state senators and lawmakers and politicians could put as much overtime into things as, or put as much emotion into things as the Ottawa Senators did in double overtime,
right,
we'd all be much better off. But I got to go with the Preds. It's against my better judgment, but I do love PK Subban, and I think it'll be a lot of fun for this series.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rap30. Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. Great to talk to you, buddy. Have a great day today.
Pete, you too. Have a great holiday, everybody.
All right. It's 720 WGN. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios here at 720 WGN. Senator Tammy Duckworth will join us at 10:35. My wife thinks I'm crazy. And let me tell you why. The yellow caution tape. Steve, do you have yellow caution tape at your house?
I do not, Pete. We really haven't had much cause for it.
When you live in the city, you have a very small yard, and you also have a sidewalk and a parkway before the street. You got that visual?
Sure, I had that before, yeah.
For years, I've been trying to grow grass on my parkway.
Mm.
So I put yellow caution tape around it this year.
That'll solve the problem.
Because people will keep their dogs away, so the grass grows, and then you pull up the tape, and then the dogs start peeing on the grass again.
It's probably a pretty shady area, right?
There's a tree there, but we cut one of the branches off, and it gets, you know,
enough,
some good sun.
Okay.
So here's my question. Is there anything that you can put on the grass that will keep the dogs away, like black pepper?
No.
Have you heard?
No. You mean like, well, spikes, like they put to keep the pigeons off the ledge, maybe?
No. Like if you put a certain type of pepper in your garden, it keeps the rabbits away. Have you heard that?
That's what the people who sell it say, yes.
But if I put that in my yard, will it keep the dogs from peeing on my yard?
It might keep them from licking your grass, but I don't think it will keep them from wetting your grass.
Are you sure? Do you have a dog?
I do have a dog, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. The parkways, I lived in the DePaul area. We had a paved parkway, right? I picked up all the pavers, put a garden in the parkway because it was the, you know, the big garden walk at Sheffield Garden Walk. I planted flowers.
Right.
People dug up a couple of my flowers.
What do you mean they dug them up?
I mean, after I planted them, had this nice, pretty little garden. I came out one morning and some of my flowers were missing.
They stole your flowers?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was probably a drunk person giving it to a woman. He had a late night booty call.
I don't know. But so the parkways are interesting. I don't think you can. I don't think. I think the caution tape might be your best route.
Do you put pepper on your garden to keep the rabbits away?
No.
Or away from your flowers?
We put a fence around it.
I don't like the fence. My wife said, put the black fence around it. I don't want to do that.
So you've got yellow caution tape up instead of a black fence?
The caution tape comes up. Yeah. I told her that I would take it up before June 1st. It comes down today.
Well, you can get just that little stick in the ground kind of archy fence, you know, like the a wire fence.
I don't like any of those. I think it looks bad. What's the use of having a nice lawn? You're edging it. You want it to look good. And then you put the little archy thing.
But just till the grass comes up.
The grass is up.
Oh.
It's full and ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Here is the problem. I just don't want the dogs, once they start peeing on the lawn, it's going to leave bare spots everywhere. I thought you were Mr. Gardner. I thought you had the answers for everything.
I did. You just didn't want to hear it. You've put up a little fence around it for a while.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Hmm.
Not pepper.
Red pepper?
No. Chipotle? Throw some adobo sauce out there?
312-981-7200, also our text line, if anybody has a suggestion. Are you sure pepper doesn't work? Because I've been doing that on our flowers for years.
Well, they're not tasting the grass.
I mean, for
right?
The,
they're not
for
licking
the,
it. They're not
for the rabbits. This is the dumbest conversation.
The rabbits are eating the grass, so they get the pepper taste.
My wife thinks I'm absolutely insane for having the yellow caution tape up.
Right now, she's not the only one.
My lawn has never looked better. I'd leave it up all year if it wasn't for my wife. Seriously. I don't have a problem with it. And I'm kind of like that crazy guy in the neighborhood.
So you don't have a problem with like a 6-inch wire fence you could stick in the grass?
I do.
I mean, you do have a problem with that, but you don't with big yellow tape.
It bothers me for some reason. I don't know what it is. I hate seeing those, and they always get bent, and the dogs will walk on them.
Right. The yellow tape stays perfect all year long.
It's coming up. 312-981-7200. Do you want me to take this before a break? All right. Let's take a quick break. It's 720 WGN.
We showed a campaign that respects the voters and is focused on practical solutions rather than shop-worn slogans can actually be successful. We showed that a relentless focus on rebuilding Illinois' middle class and respecting hard work rather than wealth can be successful, too. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Oh, my gosh.
WGN. Memorial Day is a day where we remember the men and women who fought and died for our country. We'd like to welcome in a woman who fought for our country and is now our United States Senator. It is Senator Tammy Duckworth. Senator, thanks for coming on. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you as well. It's great to be on.
What does today mean to you?
Well, it's, you know, unlike Veterans Day, which is a joyful day of celebrating military service, Memorial Day is really a reflective day for me because it is a day to honor our fallen dead, our heroes who laid down their lives for this country. So I think about all the guys that I've served with and the ones who didn't make it home. Out of Peoria, we lost a helicopter early on in the war. And then in my own unit, one of my good friends didn't make it back either. So I think about them.
You served, when you meet these men and women who fight for our country, it's a special feeling for you because you've been there. You know what they're going through. Isn't that true?
I do. You know, these men and women, look, less than one half of 1% of our entire nation's population is serving in uniform right now. And that they can become very disconnected from the population you know, they go through a lot of hardship, even when we're not at war, in terms of time away from family to train and to be ready to fight when our nation calls on them. So on a day like today, I hope all Americans are thinking about them and their sacrifice.
How's your first year going?
In the Senate, my first year in the Senate is a little chaotic. I wish we were talking about, you know, infrastructure investments and we were talking about tax reforms. Or, you know, a farm bill, but instead we're talking about Russia all the time.
Is there a learning curve going from a congressman to a senator? Or is it basically the same?
It's a little. I'm glad I spent time as a member of Congress because some of the basic things like writing bills and putting together an office I already had in place. In fact, my whole House staff came over to the Senate, and then I added on from there. So that was helpful. But there is still a steep learning curve in terms of how the Senate rules work and how you can get things introduced. That said, I've already introduced and passed a piece of legislation that's been signed into law. So I'm very, very fortunate to have great staff.
Well, let's talk health care. The CBO said that this is not a good bill for the United States people. What is the bill that's going to be proposed in the Senate? What are you guys working on?
Well, Democrats have not been asked to join the working group. There is a working group with all Republicans on it that are drafting a bill, and Democrats have not been invited to join. So I don't know what's going into the bill, but it needs to be significantly different than the House bill, because the House bill will put 23 million Americans out on the streets without health insurance. It could potentially raise taxes on as many as 7 million veterans by taking away their subsidies. It guts Medicaid. And if you look at Medicaid, people think, oh, that's just poor people. It's not just poor people. It's also, you know, 31/3 of all nursing home residents are on Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And so it's people's moms and dads and grandparents, people with pre-existing conditions. So whatever comes out of the Senate a working group that the Republicans have put together needs to be better than what that came out of the House.
Let me bring in Steve Bertrand. Steve, say hello to Senator Tammy Duckworth.
Senator, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. You know, I want to go back to the differences between the Senate and the House, because I know in the House sometimes they think the Senate looks down on them. And I just wonder if you're not looking down on, no, not if you're looking down on the House, but, you know, as you've made that transition to see it now from the other side, what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I certainly don't look down on the House, because I have many friends on both sides of the aisle in the House. But I am frustrated with the House, because the House, in passing the legislation, members of the House actually said, well, I voted for it because I know the Senate will fix it.
Right.
Why would you vote for a bill that puts 23 million Americans out on the streets without health insurance and would destroy rural hospitals, would destroy health care outside of large cities? And when you ask folks who voted for it, even including those in the Illinois delegation, some of them have actually said, well, I know there's a problem, but I know the Senate will fix it. And that's a frustration I have.
It's
in the House.
Let's do that. And that's the House. Let's go overseas. Angela Merkel making news yesterday when she uttered the sentence, the times when we could completely rely on others are to an extent over, speaking after President Trump's visit to NATO and overseas. And I just wonder now on this Memorial Day, how you feel the president served the troops, the nation, on the visit to Europe.
Well, President Trump is not fit to be the commander-in-chief of our military. I said that before he was elected, and I said it again now after this visit, where he would not commit to our treaty with NATO that we have signed. At a 9/11 memorial, he said that he refused to commit to the mutual defense pact under NATO. Remember that on 9/11, every single one of our NATO allies stepped forward and said, we're with you, we'll stand with you shoulder to shoulder, and we will be there to help defend the American homeland. Our allies said that, including Germany. And yet here, our own president was overseas at a 9/11 memorial, and he would not commit to the Mutual Defense Pact. I think this puts American men and women in uniform in greater danger. Time and again, the things that this president has said has endangered the well-being of American men and women who must face the enemy on foreign soil. Okay. And this is yet another example of him doing that.
Put another way, though, Macedonia now in NATO, Montenegro, I'm sorry. Should U.S. troops be put into war to defend Montenegro?
Well, what we need to do, it's a mutual defense pact. And what we need to do if Montenegro is under attack is to have a real discussion here in the United States in terms of how we would come to the mutual defense. Mutual defense doesn't always mean that we put American troops into battle for other nations. It means that we support them. Just as when we went to fight overseas, doesn't, you know, after 9/11, that not every one of our allies actually sent a physical soldier to fight, but they certainly was part of the Mutual Defense Pact. And we in Congress have to do our job with a discussion and writing of a new authorization for use of military force, which sets up the parameters. But there's a philosophy of a Mutual Defense Pact that we need to adhere to.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. The American people are frustrated with gridlock in Washington. Are you at a point where you're frustrated, and what's the end game here? Is it just going to continue to be like this, or is something going to change?
I am frustrated. I've been frustrated since I was in the House. I hope that it'll change. I say this all the time, and I still believe it. I start every day with the belief that the folks that I work with who across the aisle love this country as much as I do. And if I start each day with that, I truly feel I can find a way forward. I think there's a lot that we can work on. We should be working on, for example, infrastructure. You know, we need $1 trillion in investment in our existing infrastructure just to bring it up to standard. That means some locks and dams in the Mississippi, roads, rail, airports in outside of major cities and out in rural areas. All of those things need investment. Our public schools need investment. And I think that's bipartisan. You've got all of those things in Republican and in Democratic districts,
right.
And I think we should be able to work together.
Remind me what happened to the infrastructure bill, because we all agreed on it, Republicans and Democrats, and I thought that was the first thing that was going to be taken care of with the president's agenda. Whatever happened with that?
You'll have to ask the White House, because they've never come up with one. The president made this promise that he would do it in his first 100 days, and he's never actually delivered on that promise. He instead has been spending a lot of time breaking promises, which is unfortunate. Even his budget that he just put out breaks a lot of promises to farmers. It takes away a lot of grants for farms. It takes away clean water money. It takes away a significant amount of money for infrastructure under the Tiger Grant program. Mm-hmm. And there's no infrastructure bill. If he would put one forward, I would work with him on it.
And Senator, what do you have planned for Memorial Day today?
I am on my way to Springfield to our Memorial Day celebration. It's one that I go to just about every year. I went my last the year that I went when I was just retiring from the Army. So it's good to be back in Springfield. I'm going to be at Camp Butler Memorial Day. The ceremony starts at 2:00, so if people want to come to that, please come join us to honor our fallen heroes.
I appreciate you taking the time, Senator. It's great to talk to you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Senator Tammy Duckworth taking the time out today on this Memorial Day. It's 10:45. Pete McMurray at 7:20. WGN. WGN, happy Memorial Day. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. About 20 minutes ago, I asked a question. How do I keep dogs from peeing on my lawn? Could you put pepper down? And the text messages have exploded. 312-981-7200. I'm told plastic forks stuck in the yard straight up will keep dogs from squatting there. Pepper spray. Spray pepper spray on your lawn. Well, what happens if a kid is running around playing in your neighborhood and he wanders on your lawn? You're in trouble there. Bertrand is right. You cannot put anything on your lawn. I don't know if I believe that. Hiya, Pete. Long time no talk. Select neighbors of mine have erected a low-level fence 2 feet high on three sides and leaving the length parallel to the curb unfenced. Dogs won't jump over the fencing to do their business. Margaret Robertson. Steve, how do I feel about small fences?
You're warming up to them?
I am.
Not so much.
Not going to do a small fence. That defeats the purpose. People are saying to sprinkle water on your yard daily. My lawn was so saturated last year because of all the rains last summer. I don't think I can do that. I don't want to kill it. It died by the end of the summer. Once dogs pee on your grass, pour some water on it immediately. Well, I'm not going to be monitoring my parkway. That just doesn't work.
Sounds like you are monitoring your parkway. You just don't have the watering can in your hand. Why don't you just stand out there? Some kid set up a lemonade stand on the sidewalk. Why don't you just sit there with a watering can?
Dog owners read signs. Put a sign that just says, please don't pee on my lawn. That doesn't work. It doesn't. 630 area code, move to the suburbs. You guys don't have those problems in the suburbs as you do in the city? Do you have problems with that, Steve?
I'm sorry, with what?
Do you have problems with that in the suburbs with dogs peeing on your lawn?
Yeah, sure that happens, but I think it's just the female, right, that damages the grass. Our dog does it, but it doesn't die until the spring, like over the winter. You know, then in the spring we see issues.
We get the marks right away.
Do you?
Circular marks. I think it's male and female dogs. Why would you say it's just females?
I don't know. Someone told me that once.
See, no one really knows the answer to this.
A lot of us aren't quite as obsessed as you are with this, Pete.
Do you mow your own lawn?
This is the first year I haven't, and I kind of miss my yard.
What do you mean you miss it? Did you move?
No, but I used to walk around, and when you're behind the mower, you know where this little divot is or this, and you see this grass coming through, and, you know, there's parts of my yard I don't even walk into now.
So you just said this year I'm going to hire somebody to do it. I've had it.
Pretty much.
But you miss it. It gives me a sense of accomplishment when I go out there and I mow the lawn.
I walk behind them just to get the smell still.
And you.
They don't like that so much, but.
I love to mow the lawn. I love to edge the lawn. I sweep. And then at the end, when I put everything away, I love to stare at my lawn.
So Sharon, my wife, loves the edging, and I've never really done that. So with the landscaper now, that happens much better.
Well, you can buy the weed whacker edger combo.
Oh, we buy all the stuff. I just don't use it.
Why not? It's simple. No. It's a steady hand, man.
It's a steady hand.
That's my favorite part, is edging. I love it. Tony, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
A couple things. First, female dogs have a higher nitrogen content in their urine than male dogs do. If you spread gypsum down, you can get it like at any hardware store, a bag of gypsum. It helps neutralize the urine and break up the soil a little. And the other thing a neighbor of mine did was he put AstroTurf on his front yard.
Yeah, we have somebody down the street that did that, but it gets beat up in the wintertime. What is gypsum? How do you spell that? J-I-P-S-O-N?
I believe so. It's like they've got different additives you can put on your yard. Gypsum's one of them, like valorganite's another, but gypsum... I believe tends to work the best. It helps break down the urine. So,
are you obsessed with your yard?
I have two properties: the one in the suburbs, yes; the one in the city, not really. There's so many kids that run around the neighborhood and dogs. It doesn't. I'm over it. So
it just gets beat up.
It does. I just grin and bear it, basically. So,
all right, Gypsum. I'll look into it. Thanks, Tony. Have a great day.
No problem. Thanks.
312-981-7200, our phone line and our text line. Nancy, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. What I did was to put mothballs around some of the perimeters, and they smell the mothballs. They don't like the mothballs. This also keeps the squirrels from pulling out your little perennials that you first plant because they don't like the smell of mothballs. You don't have to put a lot. Just put a few, and they'll get the idea that they don't like that smell and won't come back.
So the squirrels eat the perennials?
Well, they dig them out. When you put the perennials in a pot?
Right.
They'll come, and you'll find it on the side of the pot. I put mothballs in the dirt. And then I also, for my lawn in the parkway where the dogs are walking, I put a couple mothballs in the lawn.
Really? Put them on top of the lawn?
Huh?
You just lay them on top of the lawn?
No, you put them in the dirt, but it light at the top part of the dirt.
Okay, so they can smell it, but it's not going to move anywhere.
Right. And it doesn't damage your dirt.
And does it have a little bit of the mothball showing?
No.
So you actually put dirt over it? You almost bury it?
Yeah, you bury it. You just cover it just so that it's like... Oh, maybe a quarter of an inch over the mothball.
Wow. All right.
And it's amazing what mothballs do, except that the black crows love it. They'll pick up the mothballs because they clean themselves from the bugs on their feathers.
So are the black crows going to dig into my lawn that I don't want dogs to pee on?
Well, they did that in my backyard.
Okay.
They didn't do it to my front yard.
It seems like it defeats the purpose.
No, but I mean, it keeps the dogs off. I mean, because once they know the smell of mothballs are there, it really repels them. And so they go someplace else.
And where do you buy mothballs? Can I get them anywhere? I've never purchased one before.
Oh, it's a box of mothballs at Walgreens, Jewel, any place.
That's funny. Do I put them in my closet, too? I'll put some in the front yard?
Oh, God, I hate the smell of mothballs on your clothes. I mean, you can smell somebody who's put their wool clothes to keep the bugs out of it. Oh, God.
My Aunt Rosie did that. Nancy, thank you. Have a great day.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, the mothball thing. I can't even keep up with this. Kathy, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, the mothballs is a great idea, but they're toxic. Don't put them in your house.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And make sure little kids can't. And I get them at the Dollar Tree if you have Dollar Tree stores around.
Sure.
They're $1 a box. Otherwise, they're $4 or $5 at other stores.
Okay.
But dogs and, I mean, male and female, do not kill the grass if their vet and you keep their pH balance balanced. I've had female and male dogs all my 73 years, and I've never had a problem with the killing of the grass when because we kept the pH balance. They check it. A good vet will know what that means, and they will keep, you know, do this, do that. I put vinegar in my last dog's water.
And that helps?
A minute. That balanced her pH. Each dog is different, just like each people is different, with no drugs. Don't let the darn vet start drugging the dog to keep pH balanced.
Wow, that's a lot of work. So if your dog...
Not. It's a one-time thing.
I know, but it's not my dog. It's other people's dog. So
then you can give them a speech like I just gave.
You need to put vinegar in your dog's water.
Call your vet. Tell them to keep your pH balance.
There you go.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Pete, how you doing, man?
Hello.
Hey, look who's here.
WGN Radio's Pete McMurray.
Places, everyone. It's showtime.
WGN. It is 11:05 on this beautiful Memorial Day. It's the official kickoff of summer. That means it's festival season. In studio from the Old Town Board of Directors is Jennifer Tremblay. Am I pronouncing that right, Jennifer? How are you?
Good. How are you? Yes.
And Ian Tobin. Ian, what is your role?
I'm the executive director.
One of my favorite street fairs ever is the Wells Street Art Fair. As we throw glasses around, that's okay, Jennifer. We're talking street fairs. It's fine. I love the Wells Street Art Fair. I always thought that it was the official kickoff of summer for me.
Absolutely.
And it's coming up on June 10th. Is that correct?
June 10th and 11th.
For people that live out in the suburbs and have never experienced a street fair, how would you explain Wells Street to them?
Well, Wells Street is a very unique street on the north side of Chicago. It has this very, vibrant history where, it did have a very bohemian feel for a while, and we're still kind of maintaining that. And when we have this street fest, it's a way to celebrate that history a lot. And the fact that it is an art fest also harkens back to that artist history. And residents will feel that as they walk around and they shop with all the different artists and the different vendors from the neighborhood.
Right. And you have some restaurants that have been there forever.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like Orso's at the corner of Wells and Schiller. They've been there forever.
Yep.
Fireplace Inn. I mean, they've been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. They did an addition over there. Now, how about O'Brien's? Is O'Brien's going to come back or are they gone forever?
No, we're coming back into the lobby of the hotel.
Okay.
And we are going to have a presence on the street.
Okay.
So with our other operations.
Can you move that mic over just a tiny bit? There you go.
Sure.
Right there. So they're building the hotel on that spot.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, but there's a lot of third generations. I mean, you've mentioned Orso's and Fireplace. You have Kamahachi.
Oh, Kamahachi.
That has been there for a long time.
Sure.
O'Brien's Fireplace.
Topo.
Topo Gigio's been there.
Yes.
A lot of longevity on there. I mean, and then you go back to, you have Zany's that is on the street. You've got mm-hmm. Second City on the street.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of art, a lot of culture.
I mean, it's just a wonderful event, and you usually have great weather for this, too.
Always has been the kickoff of the summer season, as you said.
And it goes from, does it go from, is it Goethe?
No, it's actually from North Avenue all the way down to Division Street.
Really? The whole street?
200 mm-hmm. artists, national, international.
So when you say the Wells Street Art Fair, what kind of artists do you have come in? And who are these people? And they come from all over, don't they?
They truly do, yeah. And they it is a juried festival, so that means that there's a lot of thought put into the selection of artists that will be in attendance for this.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do run the gamut of all sorts of different media, from photography to
3D, jewelry,
yeah, and
functional art.
Which we were talking about backstage.
Right, yeah. My wife loves art. She's into art. So it's a great event where I can experience walking around with a beer and hanging out on the street, and she can look at art.
Absolutely.
But here's the deal. If you find a piece of art that you like, buy it and have them hold on to it. Don't carry it around like I did a few years ago, okay? Because they will hold it for you, and you can grab it before you leave, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. That makes it more convenient, so then you can just do more shopping.
Has it been easier to work with the city or harder to work with the city for these street fairs the last few years?
It's kind of on par, I would say. I mean, there's so many different street fairs that are going on. We still have a management operation that goes through the
I feel like the mayor is embracing this, and he wants more of these street fairs, and he wants mm-hmm. more people downtown.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do a full gamut. We have the music. We have the art. We have what we call Taste of Old Town with all the different restaurants on the street. And we also have a great little kids corner that works with Art on Sedgwick, Charlie over on Sedgwick.
Okay.
So good taste for everybody.
I love it. And what's the website people can go to?
WellStreetArtFestival.us or OldTownChicago.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the bands that you guys have coming in for Well Street. 16 Candles, one of my favorite bands. I know Adam and the band. I see them every single summer. People want to come out. You have families that move to the suburbs that come in just for this because they mm-hmm. know when they live downtown, this was the kickoff of summer right here, the Wells Street Art Fair. Mm-hmm. So, and they want to see bands like 16 Candles, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But we also have some, I mean, a lot of it this year is local that you can see. Keith Simple, he's a very local guy. We mix it up with Jesse White Tumblers that come in the afternoon and do tumbling for 20 minutes for all the kids and everything. And then Todd on Sunday night. School of Rock is a local Chicago, I don't want to say kids, young adult, institution that comes out and plays Sunday mornings.
Right. But I feel like with some of these street fairs, you see School of Rock early on Sundays so people can bring out their kids and watch them.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely so.
Correct.
And that's one of the best-kept secrets, Wells Street Art Fair on Sunday. Everybody brings their kids, don't they? I mean, Saturday more of a date thing because during the day it's fine, but at night it gets very crowded because everyone shows up. But you can show up with your kids on Sunday.
Yeah.
Correct.
I love it. I mean, it's just fantastic. Anything I'm missing about Wells Street? What are the glasses that you just hand me and we threw at me when you started?
So, Ian, I'll have you explain. This is our Best of Fest package that we're selling
off.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So for this year, we're doing a Best Fest Pass, and we're selling. What it is you pay $54. We have an Eventbrite page set up for that, and that will get you 2 gate donations, 2 drink tickets, 4 food tickets, and then 2 of these commemorative cups, and these are Pilsner cups that we have that have the Wells Street Art Fest logo on it.
Okay.
So you can find the link to the Eventbrite page on our Facebook page, which is Old Town Merchants and Residents Association. It'll be pinned at the top. And I believe we have several promo codes that...
Correct. One promo code for Old Town is Old Town. But it's a $54 package, and we're selling it for $40.
Mm-hmm. And for a normal person at the door, how much does it cost to get into Wells Street?
$7.
$7.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And where does the money go that you collect?
Goes back to the community. We give back to the local community people. We keep up the street. We do the security. We work
We provide information to residents on different events that are happening or things that they should be aware of, sometimes related to community safety. We'll also put together some social events for residents. We just this last week held a night out in Old Town, which partnered a restaurant with one of the theaters in the neighborhood, and it was a good time had by all.
That's great.
And it pays for beautification of the corridor. And then we also do give back to some of the other nonprofits in the neighborhood, like Art on Sedgwick, Deborah's Place, the Franklin Fine Arts Center.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The North Library, we just gave back $20,000 at our annual reception earlier this year.
Fantastic.
So.
And why did you two get involved? Jennifer, why did you get involved?
I think I first came to Well Street in 1992.
You've seen it from its inception.
25 years, so I don't remember back the day of where everybody talks about the stories, but I do remember some of the shops. But it's really come along, and it's truly a neighborhood, a family. You walk down the street, and Frank is saying hello to you, and you just get to know everybody.
Mm-hmm. And Ian, how about you?
I've only been involved with the organization for 2 months now, actually.
Really?
I am an urban planner by trade, and I worked through several different consulting firms, and I decided I wanted to work on something a little more long-term. And what is more long-term than working for a nonprofit in the neighborhood where you are seeing the impacts that you're having over the long haul, and watching these corridors grow and these communities improve. And I would also echo that it does feel like this small little town. It's really unique compared to other neighborhoods in the city where it is so tight-knit. It's fantastic to work for.
I feel like everybody has a story from Old Town. I mean, that area has transformed so much over the last 15, 20 years. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Jewel now on the corner of Clybourne and Division, and they're building another one over on Dearborn and Division. Is that right? Did I see
Clark
that the other day?
Division.
Clark
That's
and Division?
Correct.
Right, the old location. So they're going to have two right down the street from each other.
Yeah.
Man, it's just amazing. I love that area. It's always been one of my favorites, and without a doubt, my favorite street fair every single summer. I'm there with my wife, and then I show up on Sunday with the three of us, our son. So again, Well Street Art Fair, it happens on Saturday, June 10th, and Sunday, June 11th. What's the website they can go to?
WellStreetArtFest.us or OldTownChicago.org.
Got it. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. I love getting text messages from you. Just sign your name so I know who it's from. 312-981-7200. So many people texting, yes. When they were single, they lived downtown with the Well Street. They move out to the burbs and they come back for it. I love that. I think it's great. Jasmine, you go to Well Street Art Fair? You getting out and about in the city?
Not really. I don't get out too much.
What do you mean you don't get out? How come?
I have this thing about being out in crowds.
What do you mean? You don't like crowds?
No, it's not that I don't like crowds. It's just that it just has to be like a really special occasion for me, like go to a festival, because the people walking around and like you're bunched together and like Wrigley Field. Oh, my goodness. It's like.
Could you go to a concert?
I can go to a concert if it's.
Could you go to a concert in general admission? If it's a Wrigley Field, you know, they have GA on the field. Could
yes.
you ever do that?
Yes. It just has to be somebody I really, really love.
But you don't like hanging out with people touching
it's just,
you.
It's just, yeah, the weird, I don't know. Don't judge me. Are you judging me? Yes.
I am, well.
Yes.
I know how some people get freaked out with crowds. I've just always embraced crowds.
I'm not like freaked out like, oh my gosh, I can't go, I won't go. It's just like,
Well, there's some people,
hot.
There's people that won't walk through a street fest, especially when it gets crowded at night because they get freaked out. Just walking with the flow of traffic, because if someone stops, they stop, and then you're shoulder to shoulder with other people.
See, yeah, that's just a little too much. And then summertime, oh my gosh.
That drives you nuts?
Yeah, that drives me nuts.
God, I love it. I love it more than anything. You got Well Street Art Fair. You got Taste of Lincoln Avenue. You got Retro on Roscoe.
Now, I liked Lollapalooza the time I went, but I was like 15.
Wait a second. Lollapalooza.
I was
There's
15.
A million people over at Grant Park, and you can't do a street fest?
I was 15, and I was younger then. Now that I'm older and I'm thinking about it and all the people, I'm like, oh, my gosh, did they take a shower today? Did they wash their hands? Like, I'm freaking out. Like, oh, I don't know.
The worst part of Lollapalooza is getting through the gate.
That's
because
true.
There's just a sea of people. Once you get through, you can breathe.
Right, right, because it's like a traffic jam,
I
basically.
Love it. I love Lollapalooza. I know you would think, Pete McMurray, why are you going to Lolla? I just love live music. And I think Grant Park, the way that they set it up, it's absolutely perfect because you can walk from area to area to see different bands.
And I agree.
It never seemed crowded to me except at the front gate, which they need to work through.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, thousands of people. God, you would have freaked out when you're in the when you're in the middle of that. It's just a sea of people trying to get through like four gates.
It was fine when I was younger. I don't know what happened. It's just like as soon as I got older, I'm like, yep, I'm not doing it.
Well, I think people change as they get older, but I don't know. Do you have any other phobias that we need to talk about, discuss on the radio?
I'm afraid, definitely afraid of birds. Birds.
Birds flying over your head?
Well, yes, I had an incident when I was 7 years old. I went out with my sister and we went to feed the ducks. And you know, you bring the loaf of bread and you know, you pass it along. So then this crowd of ducks out of nowhere just came up and like just swarmed us. And it freaked me out. And then I have another incident. My mother said we should watch Birds by, what is it? Who made the movie? The Birds movie? I cannot remember.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Yes, it.
Yep.
And she was like, I'm going to watch it with you and you shouldn't be scared. And
why would your mother ever let you watch that movie if you were afraid of birds?
She said, I need to get over it.
I know
it.
You're deathly afraid of birds. Let's watch Birds where people get attacked.
She said I needed to get over it.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, I found out the hard way. I had horrible nightmares. I made, a dream catcher? Do you guys remember that back in the day?
Dream
the little,
catcher?
It's like a little, like it's a paper thing and you put like yarn through it and it like a whole ordeal.
I have never heard of that.
Oh my gosh, you got to look it up.
What do you do with it?
You put it over your bed, and it's supposed to help you stop having bad dreams. So I did the whole thing, and it still didn't work. So, I mean.
It's from Native American culture.
Mm-hmm.
A dream catcher.
It's supposed to help, but.
It's handmade. It's a willow hoop on which it's woven into a web.
Yep.
It could also be sacred. And you can have feathers and beads on it. You hung this over your bed so you wouldn't have nightmares?
Yes.
Did it work?
Obviously not. I'm still afraid.
I don't know anybody that's afraid of birds.
It's a real thing.
I understand the whole geese thing or ducks. When you feed them, they try to attack you because they want more and more food.
Right.
Okay, I get that. But just a regular bird?
Oh, I'm with you on the birds.
Blackbirds? Yay! Sparrows?
Oh, I do not like birds.
I don't understand that. Kim, what are you talking about?
It's just the sound they make. And my grandfather, he had a pet parakeet when I was a little kid. And he used to think it was funny to let the parakeet out of the cage and just, like, drive all around, you know, let the bird fly wherever it wanted to go. And it used to freak us out. And I'm scared ever since.
So if you're, let's say you park here at WGN and you walk in and there's a bird that flies over your head, you're freaking out.
I'm a little nervous. I don't like when they get close, especially the pigeons. Ugh.
I hate pigeons.
Pigeons will walk right up to you downtown.
Yep.
They're looking for food. They have no fear whatsoever.
No shame. None. No manners.
Well, pigeons I can understand because they're rats with wings. You want to avoid those.
Exactly.
They have so many
Why
germs.
Wouldn't you be afraid of that?
I'm not afraid of them. I'll kick them away. But just a regular bird like a sparrow, they're not hurting anyone. Or a robin.
I just don't like the whole wing thing.
Anything else, Kim, that you're afraid of before we go to a break?
I could come up with a couple other things. I'm not a big ocean fan. I got pulled under once in undertow, so I'm afraid.
I mean, you almost drowned. I can understand that.
Yeah, I am afraid.
A lot of people are afraid of big bodies of water like that. What about Lake Michigan?
I'm all right.
Okay.
I don't love fish either. I don't like fish nibbling on me.
Well, you're staying out of the ocean, so you're good.
So, well, but even in the lake. When I used to go to camp, they used to make you hang out on the dock, and that's where all the fish would be underneath, and they would just, like, nibble at your legs, and they wouldn't let you out of the water because you had to stay in, and it was freezing, and it scarred me for life.
You know, they have those fish pedicures. That
oh,
you
I would
go
never do
rest
that.
Your
My
feet.
Family did that. I watched. I would never do that.
And, you know, they just eat off your...
Dead skin.
Oh,
how disgusting
that's just,
is that?
Yeah, that's bad stuff. All right. It's 720 WGN. 11:33, happy Memorial Day. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios joining us from Southern Cut Barbecue. It's Chef Leanne Whippin. Thank you for coming in because we're all going to be barbecuing today.
I know. We should have been on yesterday, right?
Where's the white coat? I thought you wear the white coat in here. I'm a little
radio.
Disappointed.
I don't need to wear
you
the white coat.
You wore a black
coat.
Hoodie.
It's my Jack Daniel's World Championship barbecue
hoodie. Oh, okay. Now you're talking. I like it. First of all, where did you grow up? How'd you get in the barbecue?
I grew up in New Jersey, of all places. Everyone's like, how do you know about barbecue? But my dad is a Kansas City boy, and he was born and raised at my grandmother's hog farm, which we would, you know, visit all the time. Go to all the great barbecue restaurants like Gates and Arthur Bryant's. And so I was raised in Jersey because my dad was, he's retired now, but he was a captain with TWA based out of Kennedy Airport. So
okay.
That's where the Jersey comes in, but always been around barbecue.
And you just got the food bug?
Well, my dad got heavily involved with the Kansas City Barbecue Society about 25 years ago when they first started, and we became certified as barbecue judges. And that was 21 years ago. And then we thought, well, we know, you know, what they're looking for. Let's go ahead and compete. So we competed in 96 at the Georgia State Barbecue Championship and ended up winning grand champion, went to the Nationals at the Royal and took a first place in pork. So that was pretty much it for me. I love competition, but you really can't make a living at it. I was in food and beverage for Hyatt Hotels for many years. So I knew about the business. So I opened up my first restaurant in 04, second one in 06, third one in 08, all in Chesapeake, Virginia, then came to Chicago. And I've been doing barbecue here and now am pleasured to work with, you know, David Flom and Matt Moore of Chicago Cut and Ocean Cut. And so we reconcepted the local to a barbecue restaurant on February 3rd. And so we redesigned the whole inside. And it's really cool because the smoker is like the focal point. So most smokers and restaurants are in the back of the house. But you really get to see what's going on. And we have a chef's counter there where you can actually interact with me while I'm, you know, smoking the food right there. So,
really?
Yeah, it's cool.
Does that bother you sometimes when you're rushed and people are asking you questions?
No, I love to talk about barbecue. You know, anytime the servers are like, oh, this table wants to talk to you, I'm there, you know. I get a little break.
And Southern Cut is located right next to the Hancock.
That's correct. We're at 198 East Delaware, kind of in the bottom of the Hilton. We have a great patio. It's great space.
What's your secret?
I think it's just learning over the years, you know, what's the best as far as sauces, dry rubs, smoking, using high quality meats. You know, being a restaurateur for, you know, quite a few years, you learn a lot, and I'm still learning, but I think I've got it down pretty well, and I think people enjoy it.
I feel like Chicago has high expectations for food, and you get one shot if you have a new food.
They do.
Because there's so many choices in Chicago.
There are, and there is an influx of, you know, barbecue back in 2010, so there's competition there, and, you know, some of the places have closed. But I really feel like we're doing it, you know, a little bit differently and pairing the right woods. You know, with, you know, the pork and chicken, we're using hickory and apple, and then we use white oak and cherry on our brisket, so it really, the result is a really nice smoke ring on it. Everything is dry rubs. So we have two house rubs. One is very herbaceous, peppery, salt and pepper, very Texas oriented for our beef brisket. And then we have our pig powder dry rub, which is my family's secret recipe. And we use that on the pork and chicken and on the ribs. And that's like sweet with the back heat. And it's won a lot of awards. It even won best rub on the planet at the Nationals. Yeah.
How do you come up with a rub? Just trial and error? Just keep making food?
Yeah, it's trial and error. You know, the internet's very useful. You know, to get a base, and then you can go ahead and add various, you know, herbs and spices to kind of tweak it to the way you like your, you know, your dry rub.
When you think of barbecue, you think of these big, enormous, fat men. You're a very beautiful blonde.
Oh, well, thank you.
How did you get into the barbecue? I mean, am I going to be able to compete with these guys? Were you nervous at first?
No, I mean, I knew that, you know, it's tough competition and, you know, you're going to have losses and wins, but you have to overlook the losses and just, you know, go forward. It took a while for me to, you know, get in with the guys, but I proved myself by winning a lot of, you know, competitions. And I think that helped. So now I've had friends, you know, 15, 20 years in the business. And, you know, it's a great community, the barbecue people.
312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. If you have a question for Chef Leanne Whippin from Southern Cut, what's the biggest mistake people make when they barbecue?
Well, there's barbecue, which is grilling, which is direct heat, and there's smoking, which is indirect heat, where your fire is off to the side. So if you're actually on a grill with a dry rub, a lot of the rubs have a high sugar content. So you kind of have to move it off, you know, to where there's no flame, and then the flame's on the opposite side because your product is going to burn. So you have to be very careful. Also,
okay,
don't sauce your meat early. So it should be done at the last.
We all make that mistake.
Because again,
we just want to get it on there.
I know. And it's,
why is that?
It's the sugar, and you know, you just got to be careful. So it's best to sauce your product, you know, the last 20 minutes of grilling, and then it'll caramelize without really burning.
Okay, so we all throw it on early. We figure, okay, we want it to cook into the meat, and that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah, you got to be careful with what you're using. You know, as I said, a lot of sugar, a lot of fire, a lot of burn.
Right.
So,
how about chicken? How do you prepare chicken on the grill?
So chicken, I highly recommend brining in a salt, you know, water, sugar solution, and you can add some bay leaves to it. But that really helps with your moistness in the chicken. So again, you can, you know, search the internet for a brine. So, definitely brine it first, then dry rub it, and, keep the low, you know, the temperature at like medium. So you aren't burning the outside without the inside getting cooked. And chicken should always be brought up to an internal temperature of 165 degrees. So.
Everybody's heat is too high, isn't it?
I think so. I think, I don't know, people are in a rush or they like seeing flames. I don't know.
We're all like that.
Yeah.
How about meat thermometer? We all should own one, right?
Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of the ThermoPen. It's expensive, but...
Where do I pick that up?
You can pick it up on the internet.
ThermoPen?
Yeah, you got to go to the site. Everybody on the circuit uses it because what it does, it instantly gives you an accurate temperature without leaving your smoker open for a long period of time because you're losing your temp, you know, when you do that. Temperature is really important in pork and brisket, your whole pieces, because you got to have your pork butt at least, you know, 185. I even go as high as 200 so that it actually kind of breaks apart and it isn't tough. Same thing for brisket.
ThermoPen. Is there an app with that too that comes with it?
You know, there probably is. I'm not an app person, so I'm kind of old school.
How about turkey burgers?
Turkey
burgers. Do you frown on those?
I'm not a turkey burger fan. Okay. I like whole smoked turkeys. I layer bacon on top of it and then take it off at the last half hour. Also, brining a turkey helps a lot. But turkey burgers, no, not a fan.
How about brisket? Can you make that on the grill or has to be made in a smoker?
So the brisket, if you have a whole brisket, it usually weighs, you know, between 12 and even up to 20 pounds. There is the point in the flat. The point is the higher, it's like tall on one end and the top of it has a lot of fat and different muscles running through it. And then the lower part's the flat. And that's what that's the lean part. And that's what you like to use for slicing. And then the point, we usually take it off, put it back in the smoker to render more down the fat and get more tender.
Oh, my God, you're losing me. I got a brisket for Christmas. It's been in my freezer since December.
So is it a little flat or is it a whole brisket?
It is.
Like how much does it weigh? Like 3 pounds, four
yeah,
pounds?
Yeah, probably 3 pounds.
Okay, so you have a flat.
Okay.
And that's the most challenging because there is not a lot of fat in it. So the best thing to do is to bring it to a temperature, and I usually do 165 internal, and then actually wrap it in some foil. So it kind of creates, you know, moisture until you finish it, you know, at 185, 190. And you can add a little bit of apple juice in the bottom, even a little bit of, you know, honey if you want a little
Why
sweeter.
Why apple juice?
Apple juice, it adds a little fruitiness to it without being overpowering. And that's another, you know, thing I use on the circuit. I put it in a spray bottle. We use it at the restaurant too. So when you see that your meat's getting a little bit dry on the outside,
right,
spritz it with apple juice. It'll help with caramelization and it'll also help with flavor and moisture.
God, you're good. That's great. How long do I have to thaw it out? How long would it take?
Well, you should always thaw meat in a refrigerator. If it's a large piece of meat, it's going to take a couple days.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you cook meat? You have to let it sit on the counter, right? Room temperature before you throw it on the grill?
I disagree with that. So
really?
Brisket, I like to put it on cold because it gets a better smoke ring for some reason.
Okay.
Pork shoulder and brisket should be cooked fat side up, in my opinion, because the fat kind of renders down and keeps the bottom moist. Yeah, so.
How about steak?
Steak hot and fast.
Hot and fast?
Hot and fast, yeah.
How long should you leave a steak on the grill?
It depends on the thickness of the steak. So if you have like a 1-inch, you know, say ribeye, and you've got your heat pretty high, I mean, you only have to cook it like 4 minutes a side. And you can take some mesquite chips, soak them in water for a half hour, put them in foil, poke holes in the foil, throw those right on the grill, and you'll get a mesquite smoked.
Oh, my
steak.
God, is that a great idea?
Yeah.
So if you have a gas grill, you can buy those and just put it in foil.
That's right. And make sure you put the foil right onto the coals, not on like the rack. You have to get them hot so that the smoke escapes through the holes. So you
right.
can use any kind of flavor wood chip. I really like apple, you know, with chicken.
Where do I pick those up?
You can pick them up, believe it or not, hardware stores. But the grocery stores have really, I don't know if you've noticed, but the barbecue sections have expanded a lot between all the dry rubs, sauces, different tools. And so chips are available, too. I mean, even Walmart carries them. They carry chips, chunks. Chunks are used usually, you know, in larger smokers.
God. So if you go home today and you're going to have people over, what do you make right away on your grill? Or you have a smoker?
I'm a fan of the Green Egg ceramic smoker, so I have two on my balcony.
My buddy has one of those. He loves it.
It's fantastic because you can slow smoke on it and you can cook over direct heat. And
explain to people what it is if they don't know what the Green Egg
is. It's a ceramic, it looks like an egg, a ceramic smoker, so it really holds in the heat well. It has a lid that lifts up. It has two vents, a vent on top, a vent on the bottom, so that controls your heat. And you have to use lump charcoal in it. And it's just incredible how it works. I'm in their cookbook. I contributed to that, and I've cooked for Memphis and May, the Green Egg people, not this year, but the past 2 years. So yeah,
you know the Green Egg people, of course you do.
Yes, I do.
That's why you're here. Leanne Whitman in studio with us, 312-981-7200. If you have a question or a comment via text, Southern Cut is located right next to the Hancock. What's the address again?
198 East Delaware. And I do want to mention that we have a grand opening of our Southern Cut Cafe this Thursday at 11 a.m. And from noon until 1, we'll be giving out mini pork barbecue sliders for free.
Now, you're the expert. Does David Flom put on the white coat and act like he can cook?
He actually can cook, and he has put on the white coat.
Okay.
Very impressive, actually. He hasn't gotten near the smoker, but...
Stay away from my smoker, Flommy. All right. It's 720 WGN. Southern Cut is a restaurant located at 198 East Delaware. You want the best barbecue in the city? Go see Chef Leanne Whippin, who is in studio with us right now. What about boiling meat? Because I remember growing up, my mother used to boil the ribs and then she'd throw them on the grill.
I hope she's learned better since then.
They lose flavor.
They do. And it gets very mushy.
They're
flat. Yeah, they're flat. They might be tender, but it's just like eating just... I don't know, just a piece of pork.
We come from a very large family. I think she boiled the meat so she could hurry up and barbecue it.
Yeah, that's definitely a shortcut, but
that's why
it's
she
not
going
to produce a great piece of meat, that's
you,
for sure.
You don't like boiling meat?
No, not at all.
Don't do it?
No.
Some people do chicken breast before they throw it on the grill because they're so nervous throwing it on the grill.
No, chicken breast takes no time to cook. You don't need to be boiling anything.
How about brats? You boil them in beer?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
just
then throw them
make sure.
On the grill. I do like that. And with some onions, it's great.
How do you prepare your ribs?
So the ribs, I like using a fairly decent size rib. So it's a 2 1/4 on down, which means it weighs, 2 pounds, 2 1/4 pounds. There is a membrane on the back of the rib that you need to remove so that when you put your dry rub on it, the flavors will permeate the meat. Trim off any excess fat. So basically, pat it dry. And you have to season ribs heavily with dry rub. A lot of people sprinkle it on like it's salt, but I do a full coating so that the meat holds the dry rub. And then when you lift it up, whatever falls off, whatever is on the meat is how much you should have. So, I mean,
okay.
It's that much.
You like a lot.
Yeah, I like a lot. Depending on the dry rub, of course, but, most of them are kind of mild and not like cayenne or whatever. So after dry rubbing them, we have a Southern Pride smoker, which is like the Cadillac of commercial smokers, you know, in the center of the restaurant.
Of course.
So it is a rotisserie smoker that is gas heated, but it has a firebox on the side. And we put 3 18-inch logs, you know, in the side so that you get all that smokiness. So you got to put your ribs in there with the meat side up, and I like cooking, smoking the ribs at about 225. You could go to 250, and it takes about 3.5 to 4 hours. Again, spritzing with apple juice if they look a little bit dry.
How often do you do that? Just check them in there.
You
if they
really
look
don't
dry?
Want to open the doors all the time, so I just do it like twice.
Damn. Mm-hmm. God, I mean, you're, by the way, no notes whatsoever. This is right off the top of your head.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, what we do in the restaurant is everything's dry rub. So I really want you to taste the smoke, you know, paired with the rub, and all the sauces are on the table. So you get to play with different regional sauces. We have a South Carolina mustard, which is my favorite. And then we have Kansas City style mild sauce and a spicy sauce. And then we have Eastern North Carolina, which is very vinegary.
So, I love that.
Yeah, and it's really good on pulled pork. I like the mustard on the chicken. But you can kind of play around with the different regional sauces, mix them, whatever you do. So it's a fun experience. And, you know, in a lot of restaurants, they sauce everything, and I feel like they're trying to hide things.
Right.
So we don't
put
do
too
that.
Much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you put the mustard sauce on?
I like it on the chicken, but we do have this creation, our Pitmaster sandwich. So it has sliced brisket, pulled pork. It has pulled chicken on it. Then it has coleslaw, pickled red onions, dill pickle slices, fried jalapenos, and we put mild and the mustard sauce on that, and it's on a nice squishy potato roll.
God, that sounds wonderful.
That's what I have here in the studio.
Oh my
you.
God. Is that what I'm looking at
yeah,
right there?
Uh-huh.
Can people make good pulled pork at their house?
It's hard. It's very time consuming. It takes like 12 to 14 hours to smoke a whole
Don't waste your time.
It's if you have the time, because it's very enjoyable, you know, when you're with family and friends, it's kind of like the backdrop to your party. You know, hopefully you're having 12 to 14 hour long parties or getting up at the crack of dawn and get started on it. But otherwise, I haven't been able to achieve it in, you know, in a fast way.
How about a pig roast? Do you like those?
I do. I love pig roast.
Do you like the head hanging out with
I like the whole animal.
The whole
yeah,
deal?
Yeah. So I competed in Georgia Whole Hog first time. And it's really amazing because, you know, you put the apple in the mouth, but you really don't start it with the apple in the mouth. It's like a chunk of wood in the mouth to keep the pig's mouth open. And then you insert the apple afterwards.
Right.
Also, you have to be careful of the ears because they burn fast. So you kind of have to cover them with foil. And there's, you know, all different parts to the hog, which is, you know, when you're doing a whole hog presentation, it's fun to show them like the bacon, the shoulder, the ham, the tenderloin, you know, all the different parts because they have all different flavors. So it's kind of cool.
Chef Leanne Whippin from Southern Cut in studio with us. I almost said Chicago Cut. Southern Cut at 198 East Delaware, right next to the Hancock. 312-981-7200. Gil, what's your question for Leanne?
Hey, Leanne, hey, my lady friend, you know, likes to have fish on the grill, but I, for whatever reason, always seem to end up mangling it no matter what it is, you know?
Well, the first and most important thing is to make sure that your grill has been cleaned, and then I take a cloth with a pair of tongs and pour oil on it, olive oil, vegetable oil, and then take that and rub the cloth on the grill. So, and also you can, believe it or not, use Pam and spray it so that your fish isn't sticking to the grill. You can also use a fish basket if you want. I find a lot of success is, you know, like I've done some smoked salmon recently, is you have to keep the temperature at around 140 to 150 degrees. And, you know, basically doing the whole fillet. And it shouldn't fall apart. You don't need to turn it over. And, again, I put dry rub on that, and it comes out just fine. Leave the skin on the – and also leave the skin on the bottom of the fillet because that'll help hold it together.
All right, so maybe that's my problem. I was flipping it over trying to, you know,
no.
Cook it all the way through. Didn't want anybody to get, you know, salmonella or anything.
No, you want to take it to an internal temperature of about 140, 150 degrees, and you're good.
Thank you,
okay,
Gil.
Cool.
Hey, thanks a lot. See you
Thank
guys.
Thank you.
We all turn our meat too much, don't we?
Yeah, people like to fiddle with it. It's like hamburgers. The thing that kills me is when I see guys cooking hamburgers and they smash it down with a spatula like yep. they're being, you know, king of the grill.
Yeah.
You just lost
Got
all your moisture
right
in
there.
Your burger. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, they want to see the flames. Everybody's all about the, you know,
right.
I want to be a man.
What about cooking fish on the grill on a piece of foil? Do you frown upon that?
No, you can do that. That's fine, too. Again, it's a good idea to put a little bit of oil on the foil because that will stick too. So now you're still going to get the flavors. I prefer to do it just directly though.
Grilling vegetables.
Love to grill vegetables.
I feel like it takes forever though. Can we speed it up somehow?
You can poach them if you want. Just put them in some boiling water. You know, and true with like if you're going to do a baked potato on the grill, it's, you know, a good idea to kind of bring it all the way, cook it all the way, and then just finish it off on the grill so you get a little char on the outside of the
skin. Because it takes forever for a baked
potato.
Yeah,
but, you know, vegetables marinated, it's great because usually in your refrigerator you have a bunch of vegetables, and I just throw it in, you know, olive oil, lemon, I like rosemary, thyme. Just some herbs and let it sit there, not too long because it'll make them mushy, so like a half hour, and then take them out. And again, you can't cook them too fast because they're going to burn because of the marinade.
Right.
So you got to cook them on the slow
side.
So
are they in a pan? Are they in foil? How are you cooking them?
I cook them direct on the grill, just, you know,
just
not
throw
too
them right
hot.
There.
Yep, right on there. And you have to move them around and play around with them a lot, you know, because there's grills have hot spots on it, and you just have to watch them.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Our grills are too hot. We're turning our meat too much. What else are we doing wrong? We're burning our food.
Everything, you know.
You ever go to a barbecue, somebody invites you over? I would feel so much pressure if you walked in and I'm cooking hamburgers on the grill. Basic hamburgers.
You know, it's funny. I don't know why people are like that, because if anything, I'm going to help pitch in and help give tips or whatever it is. I don't mean to be stomping on their territory, but, you know, it's... I'm there to help them, and they usually appreciate it. So.
Leanne's here. Don't burn the meat.
No, I even went to a hog roast one time, and they're like, what's wrong with this? It's not getting hot enough. I'm like, well, you have to turn your smoker so the wind is funneling through your vents because, you know, the air is creating heat, believe it or not.
Right.
And it makes it hotter. So, yeah, it helped the hog.
These are basic things, but, you know, we don't think about mm-hmm. it. We just feel like we can throw the meat on the grill, and then we're ready to go.
Yeah. So.
And you beat Bobby Flay.
I did. That was at my Wood Chicks restaurant in Chesapeake, Virginia. I had never seen a throwdown before. They told me that I was doing a show called The Grilling Gals, so I had no idea what it was. And they told me to create like a catering type environment behind the restaurant, you know, on tables and invite our regulars and the local police and fire department. And they said, you know, we want you to do a shoulder. So that, of course, takes overnight. And so I'm out there, you know, with all these people and talking about it. And then I notice, you know, they're not paying attention to me at all. They're like stage left. And I turn to my right and he's like 2 feet away from me, Bobby Flay. And so we did a throwdown with pulled pork and it was a sandwich. And we also had to do coleslaw. And they had two blind judges from the Kansas City Barbecue Society. Yeah. And I ended up winning and he put us in his favorite, you know, throwdown cookbooks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too.
Southern Cut, located at 198 East Delaware. David Plom, Matty Moore. When Matt gets excited, can you understand him in the Irish brogue?
No.
Okay.
Even now, after knowing him a couple of years, no, it's tough.
Me too. I've known him forever. I can't understand him. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You can go to southerncutbbq.com for more information. All right. It's 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Get ready to party.
Hell yeah.
Gretchen Wilson with the Loving Mary Band. The Charlie Daniels Band.
South gonna do it again.
Plus, Gunner and the Grizzly Boys. And Fireworks Spectacular after the show. Saturday, July 1st, 6 p.m. at Grand Victoria Casino in Elgin. Tickets on sale now at gvctickets.com. Part of the Grand Victoria Casino Summer Concert Series. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Nick DiGilio here. Getting a good night's sleep helps me be more productive throughout the day, and that's why I'm sleeping on the Zeek Smart Pillow. Zeek, spelled Z-E-E-Q, uses cutting-edge technology and a customizable loft level to provide personalized comfort and connectivity. It's app-controlled, meaning I can play music, set a wake-up time, track my sleep, and even set a snore alarm right from the palm of my hand. Get free shipping and save $50 on Zeke with promo code Nick at remfit.com. That's remfit.com.
Afraid your uneven sidewalk, driveway, or patio will be a costly fix? Don't replace it, raise it. You know who to call. PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL or visit permaSeal.net.
Don't best for being better, PermaSeal.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
When was the last time you were in Door County? When was the last time you were in Door County this time of the year? This is an excellent time for a peaceful, relaxing getaway. Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort, the premier Door County vacation destination, invites you right now. Enjoy hiking through the Ridges Wildlife Sanctuary, visit Cana Island Lighthouse, or just relax by the fire. That is Leanne whipping in the background, throwing around dishes. It's okay. Located on 27 acres right on Lake Michigan, Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort features staterooms, 1 to 2 bedroom luxury suites, fully equipped kitchens, fireplaces, balconies, an indoor pool, whirlpool, sauna, and so much more. Four seasons of safe, wholesome family fun awaits you at Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. Call for reservations, 1-800-927-2492. That's 1-800-927-2492, or see them online at bhycr.com. Ask about their special spring packages. Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort, the quieter side of Door County. And Steve Bertrand is in studio.
You were just eating dry rub off
that
of your hand.
That dry rub that she gave me. It was fantastic.
It's delicious.
I go, what's in it? She said, brown sugar. I go, of course, it tastes great.
All right, Peter McMurray, you going to go grill today?
I am.
Ah, good. Listen up. We're going to have a guy who wrote a book called Stretch. He's a business professor, and he says that we could actually be more creative if we had less stuff. The more stuff we have, the more sort of mentally stifled we are. So we'll talk to him.
I agree with that 100%.
The creators of Axios. Remember, do you follow Politico at all?
Of course.
Jim Vandehei and, yep. Mike. I can never remember Mike's last name. But the two guys who created Politico have moved on now to Axios. It's a really cool website, sort of a daily digest of politics, science, and technology every day. So we'll talk to them. Jim Dahlke here from Chicago Inno, too.
Got it.